Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. A study says the chief executives of corporations making big profits from the war on terror are enjoying far bigger pay increases than CEOs of non-defense companies. The study finds, on average, CEOs of corporations with extensive defense contracts are making double what they did before 9/11. During the same period, CEOs of large corporations without big stakes in the war have average pay gains of about 6%. The study, conducted by the Institute for Policy Studies and United for a Fair Economy, it focused on the pay of CEOs of the 34 publicly traded U.S. corporations that were among the top 100 defense contractors in 2005. A series of hearings started today for seven Marines and a Navy corpsman charged with murdering an Iraqi man 4 months ago in the town of Hamdaniya. The Article 32 hearings at California's Camp Pendleton are similar to civilian grand jury proceedings, but with some key differences. Defense lawyers can participate. The court sessions open to friends, family, and the news media. Five troops accused of shooting Hashim Ibrahim Awad after taking him out of his home. Prosecutors say the other three men also charged with murder because they were complicit in the killing. Defense lawyers question the credibility of the Iraqis who reported the killing to American authorities. An investigating officer will decide whether to recommend the defendants be court-martialed for murder. In Britain, five suspects who have not been charged in an alleged plot to blow up U.S.-bound airliners with liquid explosives can be held for another week. A judge's decision means investigators can continue questioning the five men until September 6th, when they would either have to be charged or released. British law allows police to hold suspected terrorists for up to 28 days without charge, as long as a court approves. Of the 25 people originally arrested in the raids this month, 15 have been charged. In addition to the five who remain in custody without charge, five others were released. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin will be leading a two-day pitch to New York's investment community designed to bring much-needed business to the storm-devastated city of New Orleans. The delegation of business and public sector leaders will spend Friday and Saturday at a Manhattan theater touting city and federal tax breaks for investment in New Orleans. Wall Street executives, representative of the arts and tourism, and private investors will be attending the presentations. This is Air America Radio News.
good to be with you. And thank you for joining us. Pleasure to be with you as usual. Headquarters in New York City are giving me what we call a feed, the network feed, the net feed, as we call it. It is totally distorted. So we're going to, I'm assuming I'm okay, or they would be on the phone and telling me, hey, we can't understand you. But it sounds like, to me, everything sounds like it's underwater. Boy, I hope your calls don't. Hope your calls don't. Wow. Well, we'll test it. 866-303-2270. That's our phone number. And, yeah, I was going to start with the big stuff. Bush linking U.S. safety to Iraq success. You probably have seen that. You know, one of the difficulties about doing this shift is all the news has already been talked about all day. I guess some of you probably are coming to it fresh and haven't heard all this, but I hope I'm bringing some fresh comments to it, to be sure. Now, although I thought I would start with something small. This is thanks to Bill in East Tawas, Michigan. If you hold your left hand up and look at the back of it, like you were telling somebody to stop. So you're looking at the back of your hand, and you put your fingers together. What does that look like? Well, it looks like the lower peninsula of the state in which I live, Michigan. And I don't know what you folks do, for instance, in other in other states, like if you live in New York. But what we do when we want to show somebody where it is in the state, we simply hold our hand up there, and if we want to say Detroit, where I am now, we point down to the right below the, where the thumb is, below at the base of the thumb, right? If we wanted to show somebody was in, say, Mackinac, which is right at the tip of the lower peninsula, we would point to the tip of the middle finger and all that. So why am I telling you this? Oh, yeah, because it's East Tawas. Well, if you held your hand together, you're like got to stop. You know, your hands out, you're looking at the back of it, and the right across from where the thumb is, that's where East Tawas, Michigan is. Aren't you glad I let you know about that? Well, this is what we like to give you full information here on the show. Bill sent this in from East Tawas. He says that he lives in East Tawas and says that he wanted to send me this, and he says, I wondered if you'd heard about this Michigan story. And it's the strange story of Monica Legg, L-E-G-G. So most of you have met Monica. She comes down from Lewiston, Michigan pretty regularly to stand on our little corner on Mondays. What this is talking about, like so many other places in America, in a suburb of Detroit called Ferndale. Doesn't that sound quaint? Ferndale, particularly like to New York City people, Los Angeles. I live in Ferndale, right? Yeah, we got a lot of calls waiting. We'll get to you in just a minute. But every Monday at 4:45, and I would say this to the Detroit people listening on WDTW, except they're playing a basketball game right now. Don't get me started on that. But in any event, you may be listening in other Michigan cities or in southern Ohio, and one of the things you can do is go up to the corner of Woodward Avenue and West 9 Mile Road. Pardon me, excuse me. And there's a vigil there. People have signs, and there's been a couple of arrests by the Ferndale police of vigilers because they hold up signs that say, honk if you think Bush should be impeached, or honk if you want peace in Iraq. And the cops say, well, that's they're encouraging illegal honking. You know, you can only honk under certain circumstances, but that's another story as well. Anyway, Monica Legg comes down from Lewiston, Michigan. I don't know where on the hand that is. Maybe right in the middle or something like that. I think it is. And she did so again this week. Her picture was in the Free Press, the Detroit Free Press, the daily paper, one of them, holding one of the signs that say 2,611 dead. So that must have been maybe a week or week and a half ago, because now there's 2,630 dead Americans, thanks to the George W. Bush's lies, which we will get to in just a little while. The caption mentioned her name and that she was from Lewiston, Michigan, and they get the Free Press up there. The story ran on Thursday, which was last Thursday. Within hours, get this, this is in America, folks, the police were at her door. She had overdue videos, and they were VHS tapes of Police Academy and also Nightmare Before Christmas. She was handcuffed and taken to the station where she had a mugshot and her fingerprints taken. Bail was set at $2,000, and her mother-in-law had to post a $200 bond, which is about 10%. Her husband was arrested next Tuesday for the same charge, failure to return rental property valued at under $200. According to Monica, the police in Lewiston, Michigan, said they had never arrested anyone for an overdue video before. In fact, the police in Lewiston wouldn't even do it. Police had to be imported from Grayling, Michigan, where there is a National Guard base there, to do the dirty work. The prosecutor in Montmorency County wouldn't sign the arrest warrant 45 miles away. The prosecutor in Otsego County had fewer qualms, so he signed it. The cops from Grayling came, and Monica was arrested. And Bill said, that's the story so far, and obviously it's still developing. I will update things as they unfold. Last week, her husband Don was told by a cop that his bumper sticker was offensive. It was a picture of Dick Cheney with the caption, 100% pure and extreme Dick. Maybe it was offensive, but well, failure to return rental property valued at under $200 will definitely teach him some respect, eh? Anyway, the point of this little tale is to urge everyone to pay your video rental fines or take them back early. Make sure your grass is cut. Make sure there's no illegal plant life in your cupboards. Don't jaywalk. Keep your radio turned down. Take back library books in a timely fashion. Make sure all your turn signals, headlights, backup lights, and seatbelt buckles work. We have garnered a good deal of press for the vigil in Ferndale. We have generated a lot of public support. Many of us have had our pictures splattered in the paper, and although that is good for our message, it may have repercussions that we haven't considered. Now, I thought about whether I should read this or not, because the timid among us might say, whoa, that's exactly why I don't go to demonstrations. I'm afraid the cops are going to vamp on me. Well, let's at least say thank you to those people in Lewiston and from the county that refused to bring charges against Monica, and a big note of disapproval to those who said that they, that, in other words, the ones that did. Got some newspapers here, just give you an idea, and we're going to talk at the break, just in a little while, at the bottom of the hour, with Chuck Collins from Fairness and Accuracy, from Fair Economy, right, United for a Fair Economy. And we're going to talk about who's making out in this economy and on what basis and who's not. But all you have to do is look at the papers. Here in the Detroit News, the other Detroit paper that's a daily, income slides. Michigan dips below U.S. median for first time. Or USA Today, family income up, but not pay. Census, people are working more jobs just to keep the same amount of money going. All right, 866-303-2270. Let's try some calls right off the bat. And here's Warren. Warren's in Riviera, Massachusetts. Warren Heights, Peter Werby, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
Oh, boy, this is exactly what I feared.
That's Riviera, Massachusetts.
Hold on. We're going to have to put you back on hold because as it stands, I cannot, I have to tell our technical people this, I cannot understand a single word that our caller is saying. It is completely distorted. If we can go to break early, why don't you do that for me, and we'll try to sort this out in the meantime. Hearing no distorted music, I guess, I can hear it going. All right, I'm just going to give you a little bit of music here, and we'll be right back. Hopefully we'll have this fixed and get you all on the air. So, patience please, right back.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's Labor Day sale going on this weekend only, September 1st through the 4th, at participating Ace stores. Get a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint you buy, limit 10 gallons. And don't forget paint supplies like a four-piece paintbrush set priced at $2.99 or a three-pack of Ace paint rollers for $3.99. Both are free after rebate. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. I'll tell you why I'm laughing in a second. Peter Werbe here with you. We fixed one aspect of our technical problems, but now I'm getting a tremendous echo. And I don't know if you guys can fix that. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everything is good. All right. One problem. Need you. 866-303-2270. In about 15 minutes or so, we'll be talking with Chuck Collins and what they've penned for us, a new report called Executive Excess 2006, Defense and Oil Executives Cash In on Conflict. Let's try Warren in Revere, Massachusetts. Where did I get Riviera from? Revere, Massachusetts. I'm wondering, where the hell is Riviera? I know where Revere is. Welcome to the broadcast, Warren.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Yeah, Revere's not any kind of Riviera. We got a beach, we got the first public beach, though. Well, what I called about is the Republicans recent, not really just recent, but, you know, recently they've been really banging on the word fascism.
Yeah.
A lot. Islamofascism. Rumsfeld's speech the other day comparing, you know, this so-called war on terror to World War II, and
saying that that people that oppose the war, such as myself, and I would think most of the listeners and all the hosts on Air America, are that if you oppose the Bush administration's Iraq and counterterrorism politics, you're trying to, quote, appease a new type of fascism. We're similar to the appeasement of Hitler in World War II. You think that's a faulty analogy?
I think it's ridiculous.
It is.
It's insane. There's no comparison whatsoever. You know, that the Islamists that we're facing overseas and, you know, around the world are they're theocrats, not fascists. Fascism is the, you know, merger of state and corporate power, not.
Yeah, who's got that?
We do.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're going to be talking about with Chuck Collins in just a little while. Well, we have two theocratic authoritarian right-wing movements. One's called the conservative movement in America. They've already captured the government.
Right.
And on the other side, well, it's similar. So it's right-wing versus right-wing against probably 95% of the world's population.
Well, you know, I prefer to call the so-called neoconservatives neo-fascists because, I mean, that's what they are, you know. Anyway, let me get out of the way for other callers there.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Now, there's something very important here going on. Rumsfeld, the Secretary of War, as they called those secretaries realistically as from the beginning of the Republic till 1945, and that's what they are. They're the Secretaries of War. Rumsfeld at the American Legion National Convention, more on that later as well, he said that he described the lessons of history, including the failed efforts to appease the regime of Adolf Hitler in Germany in the 1930s, and said, again, talking about appeasement of a new type of fascism. Well, I mean, it's pretty complex what's all that's going on. But let me just say this. What were the political forces in Europe particularly, but also in this country, that wanted to appease fascism? Was it the liberals? Was it the leftists? Was it the socialists? Was it the communists? Was it the anarchists? No, it was the conservatives. It was the conservatives. It was Lindbergh. It was the American Firsters. It was Father Coughlin outside of Detroit in Royal Oak, Michigan. It was the German-American Bund. It was the Silver Shirts. I'm forgetting all my history. I need researchers. My brain box is too stuffed as it is. And appeasement. Chamberlain, remember he, the guy that said when they gobbled up Czechoslovakia and he says, peace in our time? You know, they were very sympathetic. Everybody from the British royal family through the ruling Conservative Party in the late 1930s were very sympathetic to Hitler, that he had, and Mussolini and Franco. These were men, in their estimation, that had turned back the left challenge to conservative and corporate rule in those countries. So they didn't think that Mussolini's methods or Hitler's methods were so terrible. Remember, Hitler hadn't started killing the Jews at that time. And when they appeased Hitler, what they were hoping for, they knew he had an expansionist agenda, but they were hoping that his expansion would go which way? Due east, into the Soviet Union, because, and these are the conservatives in England who hoped that Hitler would set his Wehrmacht in motion against the Soviets and retake the Soviet Union for Western capital that they had lost some 20 years before, after World War I. It was only when Hitler showed his true colors and was maniacally set to take over all of Europe that they finally realized, hey, this guy's kind of a threat. Maybe we ought to go after him in general. So Rumsfeld, Bush, Cheney, all those guys, they are in the tradition, the conservative tradition of appeasing fascism. And in what country where fascism took over, whether it was in South America, when you think of all the fascist countries of the United States back during, for the last 100 years or so, all the fascist takeovers in Europe, what was the conservative position on the fascist seizure of power in all those countries? It was only one way. We support fascism. There's not, you know, again, this is off the top of my head, but my sense of history, and maybe you can go get some footnote out for me, or name one country where the conservatives opposed the elevation of the fascists to power. They just didn't. They just didn't. Conservatism, or maybe put it another way, fascism is conservatism just cranked up one little bit, or cranked down, I guess you would say. And I said when I was doing Sam Cedar's show on the Majority Report last week, the conservatives in this country have been on the wrong side of every social question since the beginning of this republic, including when they were the counter-revolutionaries, when they backed King George, and of course they back King George today, who wants to reassert that power of the kings the founding fathers fought against. They want to shred the Constitution that so appalled the crown powers of Europe. And so I put out the challenge because on the wrong side of slavery were the conservatives, on the wrong side of the question of whether women should vote, on the wrong side of World War I and the suppression of labor, the wrong side of the civil rights movement, the wrong side of segregation. The conservatives were on every side of American history that we had to burst through to make this country better. And they're no different today. They're absolutely no different today. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Chuck Collins to talk about how, you know, talk about fascism, corporatism, and state power. Well, we'll tell you how they're making out big time on it. This is the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werbe.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Abacore. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Abacore and my hair stopped.
Hold everything. Here's a special offer from Abacore. Today, Abacore will double your order. That's right, double it. You can't go wrong because only Abacore gives you up to a full year to see results or get a full refund. Today's the day. Avacore will double your order. Call Avacore now and get twice for the price.
I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacore really worked.
Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Welcome back. Peter Werby here with you on the Air America Radio Network. Let's go to Chuck Collins. He's in Boston. Chuck, hi. Peter Werby. We've talked, sure, a lot of times before, haven't we?
Good to be with you, Peter.
Chuck Collins, now a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. You're one of the founders of United for a Fair Economy, right? I didn't know you'd made this move over to our pals at the Institute.
Yeah. Yesterday.
Okay. Yesterday. Okay.
No, but the beauty is that together for 13 years we've done this report on executive pay and inequality in America. So it was a nice transition.
Yeah, and the name of it is wait a minute. I should be doing my job. Executive Excess 2006: Defense and Oil Executives Cash In on Conflict. The beginning of the show, Chuck. I read two headlines. One is in the Detroit News, big headline, income slides. Michigan dips below U.S. median for first time in USA Today. Census, people work more jobs, family income up, but not pay. Yet these CEOs are packing it in, huh? What's the deal?
Well, it definitely has been a big week for getting a picture of things happening in the economy. I mean, we've supposedly had an uptick in the economy for the last 4 years, and yet poverty rates are flat and wages are low. So, and we sort of looked at the gap, and we've been tracking this for almost 15 years. The gap between average worker and average CEO in 1990 was about 107-1, and this year it's 411-1. So we're still seeing this pulling apart trend.
Before, you know, it occurs to me, someone might say, so what? I mean, these guys are bringing in a lot of cash to their companies, and, you know, they're the big boys. They should get the big pay. So what's the difference? Why does it matter to us? Are we, what does they say, class envy they would chalk it up to?
Well, it is somewhat a symptom of wider trends in inequality, but it certainly matters to workers. Because they're not getting a share. One of the interesting studies shows that the corporate profits are at an all-time high and the return to work is at an all-time low. And the other thing is, I think when you look at, as we did in this report, at the industries that really touch our lives, the gas industry, oil prices, and the war, now we're seeing not only inequality of wages, we're seeing in kind of an inequality of sacrifice. And that gets to the core issue of, you know, what kind of country are we becoming?
Well, tell us in your report that you did for United for a Fair Economy and Institute for Policy Studies, along with some other people, you kindly call them the defense contractors, it'd be nice to call them the war industries, or what did they used to call them, World War One, the munitions makers?
Yeah, or in this case, the war profiteers.
The war profiteers.
Yeah.
So how are these CEOs of those companies doing?
Well, you know, we looked at the period before September 11th, 2001, and the 4 years after, and what we saw was defense CEOs saw their pay double, so they've cashed in on conflict. Their pay is rising much faster than the ordinary overpaid CEO, which their pay only went up 6% in the last couple of years, but the defense war profiteers saw their pay double. And there's also this kind of growing gap between the CEOs and the people who are sort of on the front lines of the conflict in Iraq, you know. And we found that on average, the 34 big defense industry CEOs were paid 44 times more than a general with 20 years experience overseeing the war effort on the ground. So we're just seeing this kind of absurd.
How about the lowly private?
Yeah, your basic private who owns about 20, who earns about $25,000 a year, the average CEO of a defense industry was paid about 308 times the average private in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of one of these things where you say, well, you know, there is a war going on, and it is somewhat it's a responsibility of our political leaders and our business leaders to be models during a time of sacrifice, and yet they're cashing in.
Chuck Collins, mention some of the names of these corporations that we might be familiar with.
Well, you know, the probably the well-known ones are Halliburton, United Technologies, the all across the board. You know, you have some of them are not as well-known, but one of the things I like to focus on United Technologies. They actually saw their CEO, George David, and they make Black Hawk helicopters and other things. He, in the last 4 years, was paid over $200 million. So he's really the probably the chief war profiteer and porker. He made about a fifth of all the money that went to the CEOs over the last 4 years, which was about $1 billion. And he's paid 2,000 times the average private. So, and I think about my friends who are in the Massachusetts National Guard, or they've enlisted, and if they heard some of those statistics, I just think they would feel betrayed by the political class of this country.
Chuck Collins is the senior scholar, a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, and we're talking about a study just released called Executive Excess, 2006 Defense and Oil Executives Cash In on Conflict. I found it at fair economy.org, fair economy.org. I'm sure you can go to the Institute for Policy Studies website as well, which I don't have in front of me. You may want to tell us, Chuck, if you have it right at your fingertip there.
It is at ips-dc.org, but you're right. If people want to just download the study or look at the summaries, fair economy.org is a good place to go.
We've talked so many times over the years, particularly on my Detroit show, and one question that is the toughest to answer, I mean, I don't, in many ways, it's not within your realm of expertise, is what the hell is with these guys? What, most of us, if we had $1 million, that would satisfy us for the rest of our lives, probably. We could live much better than we're probably going to live. Yet, here's a man that in the midst of a war wants to take $200 million. What do you do with $200 million? What kind of psychological mechanism is there that somebody wants this? Is this just like a badge of the elite class?
Well, yeah, I think part of it must be ego. But part of it's about power, I think, Peter. I think that once you've accumulated, you know, your first $10 million and you've met all your needs and the needs of your children and grandchildren, then it's really about accumulating political power in the society. And that's where, you know, as a self-governing democracy or a country that's trying to be a self-governing democracy, when you have such concentrations of wealth, you also have these concentrations of power, and that's when, you know, we start to see some of these CEOs. That's, again, going back to your almost original question, why does it matter? It matters because when so few people have so much wealth and power, it effectively corrupts our democratic society.
Chuck Collins, I don't know if I got this from you. I worked it out on my own. I usually steal from other people, so I'd hesitant to say it's my own with you on the phone. But I figured out at a point where Borders, the bookstore, was fighting the unionization in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I learned what the CEO of Borders was making, something like $23 million. And they were trying to stop people from organizing into a union. They probably would have asked for like $11 an hour. And it occurred to me that if the CEO would have been willing to take a $20 million pay cut, like so he only earned like $3 million a year, that he could probably give his employees $20 an hour easily.
What is going on? I think a little bit of there's this little Ayn Rand view of the world, which is, you know, I'm really the prime mover here, and everybody else is on my train. I'm the engine, and everybody's just along for a ride. And if you over-reward the passengers or even the parasites, then you undermine excellence in the economy. There's sort of that little bit. I think some of these people at the top really buy into the "I did it all alone" mythology in America.
The Fountainhead.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can say it since it's late at night, but what a load of crap. Okay, I guess a little earlier out in California. Sorry if the kids are still up. We don't have a lot of time left, but tell us how this looks in Europe. How do the CEOs, do they have that kind of disparity with their workers? So, I mean, is this a universal model of capitalism?
No, it's a kind of a unique United States hyper-extreme capitalism problem. You know, we people from Europe and CEOs in Europe even look over and they just think, boy, the United States just has a culture of greed that the But the other thing about European companies, and just an interesting aside, the oil industry CEOs who saw, you know, their pay go up by 50% over 1 year, they're looking at average paychecks of about $32 million a year, the top big 15 oil companies.
A year.
And if you ask them, why do you deserve your pay? They say, well, we work hard, it's a complex job, and we're in this global marketplace. Then you go over to Europe and you look at BP, what used to be called British Petroleum or Royal Dutch Shell. Their CEOs, and those are the second and third biggest oil companies in the planet, their CEOs are paid one-eighth the average U.S. CEO. So they're operating in the same global market. And one of the things, I just think there are more constraints, there's more social checks, there's more cultural checks on excessive pay. For instance, in England, shareholders actually vote on the pay package. They vote on the retirement package, something that Congressman Barney Frank has proposed here in the U.S. And I think that helps rein in sky-high pay.
And still, for those that have this deep concern, and the few of you in the middle class or working class that have this deep concern for the ultra-rich who have no concern for you whatsoever, understand that in Europe, those corporate executives that make us so much less than the ones here in the United States, they still run things. They still got big cars, big houses. They hobnob with the powerful. They create governments and all of that.
Yeah, they're powerful players, and it's a capitalist economy. But, yeah, for all of us who are paying $3 a gallon right now, we should just realize that, last year, U.S. consumers paid $200 billion more for gas than they did the year before.
Yeah, a guy yesterday asked me, what's obscene profit? Well, if I remember, I think it was Rex in New Orleans. Rex, if you're listening, there it is. Chuck Collins, we got to end this segment. But as usual, thank you so much. You can go either to faireconomy.org. I would suggest going there anyways. Or you can go to the Institute for Policy Studies website, which is ipc-dc.org. Both of them are filled with incredible information that you need to know to figure out how we're getting ripped off, how to stop this looting of the middle class and working class that's going on, the looting of the rest of the world as well. Chuck Collins, thanks for joining me on the Air America Radio Network. I appreciate it.
Take care, Peter.
All right, we will talk soon, I am sure. All right, break time here at Air America. We'll go back to this discussion of Rumsfeld, where he said that people like us's are trying to appease a new type of fascism. And I said, hey, it's always been the conservatives that have appeased fascism. They're their brothers. Everywhere that fascism arose, the fascists and the conservatives held hands while they destroyed liberals and leftists and trade unions, minorities, what have you. Conservative equal fascist. It's a reasonable equation. You tell me. 866-303-2270. I'll be right back. I'm Peter Werbe.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werbe here with you at 866-303-2270. If you have email for me, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And my personal website, Peter Werbe, PeterWerbe.com. And when you're doing a talk show that's in front of the entire nation, like this is on Air America, what I say has to be fairly accessible to everyone. Now, I'm going to say something real quickly, and it's not going to be understood by everyone, but I'm going to have to take that chance. And that is, tonight and tomorrow night, when I will be on again, actually, what is then Friday night, I want to talk about the subjects that I'm raising and ones tangential to that, that you may think of and bring to the phones. I do not want to talk about other issues that may be of great concern to all of us but aren't appropriate for discussion on the air. I'm not the right person to talk to about that. So some of you will know what I'm talking about. The rest of you probably think, what the hell am I talking about? I'm not going to talk about it on the air. So this is probably the only time I'd ever say don't call with that. It's not a proper concern for me or something to be aired. So what the hell is this guy talking about? My apologies to those of you who don't understand what I'm talking about. But let's just go back and continue to talk about the Secretary of War's remarks, that's Donald Rumsfeld, that critics of the Bush crime family are the policies in Iraq and counterterrorism are trying to appease a new type of fascism. And he compared this to the attempt to appease Hitler in the 1930s. I said that conservatism and fascism, when fascism was on the agenda, was on the rise in Europe and places like South America, in South Africa, for instance, that conservatism brought it right along, that conservatism and fascism held hands, that it did not oppose fascism. It saw fascism very frequently as a good way to get rid of the left, to get rid of those damn liberals, to get rid of the socialists, to get rid of the communists, to get rid of the labor unions, to get rid of the Jews, to get rid of the gypsies, to get rid of the gays. The conservatives never said, this violates democratic principles. They never said, we don't want our country to be governed by authoritarian rule. It was always all right with them. So it's galling beyond belief to have somebody like the Secretary of War talk about critics of this absolute failed policy in Iraq based on lies to begin with as appeasing a new type of fascism. Because how long has it been since you heard about foreign fighters in Iraq? I'm not sure they're still there. They might have all got blown away. We are fighting Iraqis. Iraqis that hate an invader. Iraqis that hate an occupier. They're our sons and daughters. And Bush has sent them on a fool's errand to kill and be killed. Let me get a call here in from Janet in Bowie, Maryland. Janet, hi, it's Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter, how are you this evening?
Doing great, thanks.
I have never, ever called in a radio station.
Welcome.
You said some things tonight that just really got me boiling. The first thing is, you know, this whole thing about Islamofascists, you and I both know that Karl Rove looked at the blogs and realized that the so-called light liberal was, I mean, the people on the left, liberal, was identifying George Bush appropriately as fascist, and he was to adopt that phrase to prevent anyone, any courageous Democrat from potentially using it. And unfortunately for us, we don't have any courageous Democrats. I've heard one person use it, and that was Kucinich. I've heard him refer to them as fascists. But my question is, What do they plan on doing with the 7 to 14 million Muslims in this country? I mean, American Muslims, born, raised here. What do they plan on doing?
I know a lot of Arab Americans, but most of them are not religious, or not Muslims.
And I know
but
a
they're
lot
nervous.
Of,
they're
I know
nervous.
A lot of Arab, I know a lot of Muslims who are not Arabs.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, this is what I'm talking about.
I got you.
I have a very large Muslim, African Americans
sure.
are Muslims, Asians are Muslims, because there's no race. There's no.
You got it.
I mean, everyone wants to assume that just the Arabs are Muslims. I mean, Randy had a whole show on it. Of course not.
Yeah. The largest Muslim country in the world is not even in the Middle East.
Exactly.
In Indonesia.
So what are we going to do about that? And then the other thing is, because I see this trend going on in on our side. You told the story about the woman that was locked up for expressing her opinion.
And not giving back her videos.
They made up a reason. They trumped up a charge. And you know, people need to, you know, get her name and number and support her. And the guy who had the bumper sticker about Cheney, everybody in that town should get that bumper sticker. I mean, it's about time we stand together, because if we don't stand together, we're going to stand alone.
Janet, I love you. Exactly it. Thank you for those remarks. All right, so our top of the hour break, so stay tuned with us. I haven't done a lot of guest getting. I'm going to get ones. When I was doing the Majority Report, I was having 3 and 4 a night. I know you folks on this show like to talk. Me too. My name is Peter Werby, and our phone number, and we're open line all night, 866-303-2270. This is the Air America Radio Network, and I'll be right back.
Have you ever met someone, shaken their hand, and the second you let go, you can't remember their name? Short-term memory loss is a natural part of aging, but forgetting names, dates, and misplacing things can be frustrating. In business, it can cost you money. Fight back with MemoProve, the new once-a-day tablet developed over 10 years by a pharmaceutical company using proprietary neuropeptides, clinically shown to improve memory. In just 30 days, MemoProve will boost your short-term memory by at least 15%, guaranteed. Call right now to find out how you can get a 3-month supply of MemoProve free. 1-888-665-MEMO. That's 1-888-665-MEMO. This is a limited-time offer, so call right now. 1-888-665-MEMO. 888-665-MEMO.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Democrats in Congress are angrily denouncing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's latest attack on Iraq war critics. One day after Rumsfeld compared administration critics to those who sought to appease Hitler, the House Democratic leader invoking her own World War II comparison, Nancy Pelosi says she wants Rumsfeld to explain why U.S. forces have been fighting in Iraq longer than it took American troops to beat the Nazis. And the top Democrat on the House Armed Services panel, Ike Skelton, says Rumsfeld is engaging in a dangerous business by vilifying those who disagree with him. Rumsfeld told the American Legion administration critics suffer from moral confusion. Senate Armed Services Committee member Jack Reed says Rumsfeld is, quote, substituting sloganing for strategy. America's top general in Iraq apparently trying to sound optimistic about having that country's security forces take over in the next 12 to 18 months, but he cautions that does not mean any U.S. troops would be leaving Iraq. General George Casey says he believes the Iraqi forces are making progress toward a point where they can shoulder security responsibilities with what he calls, quote, very little coalition support. A Hezbollah cabinet minister says those two kidnapped Israeli soldiers would not be released unconditionally, as demanded by Israel and the United Nations. Instead, he says the men would only be released as part of an overall prisoner exchange. The minister, one of two Hezbollah members in the Lebanese cabinet, says those prisoners should be exchanged through what he called indirect negotiations. The abduction of the two soldiers during a cross-border raid into northern Israel triggered the 34-day war that leveled parts of southern Lebanon. The fighting didn't end until the UN-brokered ceasefire was imposed 2 weeks ago. And even as the head of the UN came to Gaza calling for an end to the violence, it goes on. At least seven Palestinians died in gunfights and airstrikes today as Israel continues its search for explosives and smuggling tunnels in Gaza. Gaza doctors say since the weekend, 17 Palestinians, mostly militants, have been killed by Israeli forces. Israeli soldiers have been active in the Gaza Strip since late June. That was when one Israeli soldier was captured by Hamas militants who crossed the border with Israel. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
It's the Air America Radio Network. Hi, Peter Werby here with you for another hour talking conversation. Hey, actually, the conversation is you and me. No guests this hour, no guests next hour. So I hope you'll join me. 866-303-2270. It's toll free. 866-303-2270. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I started thinking about something. I'll say it again just in case I read it wrong. 866-303-2270. What I was lost in thought about was is the first hour was preempted in Detroit on WDTW for the Detroit Shock basketball team. What do you say? You never heard of it? What the hell is a basketball team doing going on now? I don't know. Hey, I had all these subjects I was going to bring up, and we got stuck, and I think it's excellent. I think it's an excellent place to get stuck because we're talking about how we're going to be ruled. Well, I hesitated on that because we don't want to be ruled. The people should be the supreme sovereign in a democracy, yet we are ruled. We're ruled by an economic elite, and we're ruled now by a political elite that is doing everything in its power to maintain itself by the most crass analogies. Now, of course, that we've seen, listen to this headline, Rumsfeld lashes out at Bush's critics. Now, lashing out, I mean, you know what that implies, hot-headedness, talk without thinking, except this is all heavily scripted by the core of the Bush crime family, beginning with Karl Rove. And you would think, since their poll numbers are so low on the performance of the presidency in general and the war in Iraq, the economy down around a third, that's hardcore. That's hardcore. Those people are never going to leave these guys, no matter what they do or what kind of mistakes they make, well, how many lies are exposed, on and on. So Rumsfeld says that what people that oppose, that's two-thirds of the country. Can you imagine that? What kind of arrogance that is? Two-thirds of the country are critical of the Bush crime family's Iraq and counterterrorism policies, and he equates that with trying to appease a new type of fascism. He says, I recount this history because once again we face the same kind of challenges in efforts to confront the rising threat of a new type of fascism. I mean, this is just absolute total nonsense. I mean, as I said last hour, this is a fairly complex situation, and I don't want to go off on a history lesson about all of this. But I will say, as I said, and I wonder how you relate to this, that that conservatives have always walked hand in hand with fascists in every country when they arose in Germany and Italy and Spain and Portugal and the Latin American countries where they appeared, South Africa. In this country, the conservative movement were great apologists. Charles Lindbergh, Father Coughlin, the fascist priest in Royal Oak, Michigan, outside of Detroit, all of these pro-German and pro-Japanese groups, which there were as well, all of them were supporters of the fascists, and all of them identified themselves as conservatives here in America. Rumsfeld, talking to the American Legion's National Convention, says, it is apparent that many still have not learned history's lessons. And Nancy Pelosi said, yeah, I mean, she's saying, how come we beat the Nazis in 3.5 years and we can't beat essentially ragtag guerrillas that are opposing us as the occupiers and invaders of their homeland? And he also said that part of the problem is that the American news media have tended to emphasize the negative rather than the positive. Now, where is the positive? The mounting bodies that are there daily of Iraqi civilians, the mounting U.S. deaths, the fact that nothing has been completed, that we've sent billions of dollars of our tax money over to, and all it's done is gone to Halliburton and Carlisle and all the rest of them? Where's the positive? Well, he sees something positive. Here's what he gives as an example. That more media attention was given to U.S. soldiers' abuse of Iraqi prisoners at Abu Ghraib than the fact that Sergeant First Class Paul Ray Smith received the Medal of Honor. Well, I'll tell you. The Medal of Honor is an incredible one given out by the United States, not real easily. I don't know what his act of valor was, but it's overshadowed by the crimes that have been committed by so many soldiers in Iraq. It's support our oops. Support our oops. And let's see here. One of the things, Veterans clash with Salt Lake City mayor. The American Legion opened its national convention in Salt Lake City with high hopes that the gathering would help, quote, unite America behind the war in Iraq. What's the matter with these guys in the American Legion? I mean, they saw a war. They were in a, most of them now, probably are men who were veterans of Vietnam. And they know firsthand what a war based on lies does both to them and to the country that they invaded and destroyed. 3 million civilian deaths at the hands of the United States. We suffered 60,000. And think how horrific our memory is of that terrible war. Think about the Vietnamese who lost 3 million based on a lie that began in the Johnson administration and carried through into the Nixon administration. Now, Mayor Rocky Anderson, he's a Democrat, and he's accused the Bush administration of lying about the rationale for the Iraq War, do you think? And he has called George Bush a complete disaster. On Wednesday, this is today, he organized a large protest rally a few blocks from the Salt Palace Convention Center just hours before Bush's arrival, that when he addressed the American Legion. We'll talk about that a little while from now, what he said. Anderson said at the rally, "No more God is on our side religious nonsense." You gotta love this guy, right? And he got waves of cheers and applause from the thousands of protesters as he called Bush a, quote, dishonest, warmongering, human rights violating president. This is the mayor of a major U.S. city, Salt Lake City, Rocky Anderson. The American Legion was so offended by Anderson's protest plans that it refused to extend the customary invitation to the host city's mayor to deliver the welcoming address. Anyone there? Do we have a station in Salt Lake City? I don't know. Anderson seemed to savor the controversy, even inviting peace activist Cindy Sheehan to Salt Lake City for the protest. But, you know, Cindy is recovering from a hysterectomy and had to not be able to do it. Some Legionnaires said convention attendance would drop because of the mayor. Anderson said it was, quote, very strange that free speech would discourage people. Justin, tell me again about Salt Lake City. Okay, line two. That's doesn't look like. Oh, I see. Yeah. Here's Chris in Salt Lake City. Chris, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Sure.
I normally call in the conservative talk show and harass the host, but I won't do that with you. I promise.
Okay.
I just wanted to check in, and as I told your screener, it was it was quite a passionate event. There were well over 1,000 people on the city hall lawn, and as you said, it was organized by the mayor. It was one of the most cogent, passionate speeches I'd heard from anyone since I told your screener Barack Obama at the Democratic National Convention. Someone needs to get this guy onto Air America and interview him. He's fantastic. And by contrast,
I've heard Al Franken interview him. But you know what I think? I thought you were going somewhere else on Air America. Hell, let's get him on the Democratic Party ticket so we're not stuck with Hillary.
Actually, I was thinking that as I was listening to the speech. This is the adrenaline shot that the Democratic Party needs. It was an amazing speech. By contrast, the pre-Bush arrival Republican gathering on the same lawn only drew about 300 people, and that was organized by the Republican Party. So it was a huge turnout. I mean, in a major city in a very, very red state, there were a lot of energetic, passionate, positive people, and it was one of the best speeches I had heard in quite some time.
Oh, that's great. Apparently, one of the Legionnaires, a national commander, Thomas Bach, he said, "We're not going to invite Cindy Sheehan or Rocky Anderson to speak to our convention. We're trying to unite America." But a Navy veteran from California said, "You'd be an idiot to just listen to one side." He said, go ahead.
His speech was loaded with what Republicans hate, which was a lot of facts, and they were well organized. I don't know if he actually wrote the speech himself, but it was very well organized and delivered in such a way that as I was standing there listening to the whole thing and feeding off the energy of the crowd, I thought this is what lacked from John Kerry's campaign in 2004. Had he had something like this and spoke very passionately, as well as Al Gore in 2000, had they spoke as passionately as this guy did today, the Democrats would be in a far better position, and this country would be in a far better position.
Well, sure, Chris. If either of those guys would have listened, not listened, rather, to their handlers and the all these, analysts, all that, they'd probably be in the White House today. We wouldn't be having this kind of conversation, because think about how Kerry sounds now after the election. Think about how Gore sounds now after the election. If either of them would have had that kind of passion, is the word you use, during the election and not tried to say, well, I got to go a little bit to the center, they wouldn't have, the Republicans wouldn't have been able to steal both elections, because all they needed in a close election is, shave a few points here and there. Well, thanks for the firsthand, I was just laughing about you harassing right-wing commentators. Well, go back to your normal work. I appreciate it very much, Chris, and thanks for the report from Salt Lake City. Peter Werbe here with you on Air America Radio Network. If you'd like to join the conversation, 866-303-2270. I'll be right back.
Question: are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werbe here with you at 866-303-2270. We're talking about the Secretary of War's accusation that critics of the Bush inept and lying policies about Iraq and terrorism are tantamount to appeasing fascism, comparable to the kind of appeasement that was dealt out to Adolf Hitler in the late 30s. Of course, that was all done by conservatives. And I'm surprised I'm not getting these conservatives that are trying to remind me of one time when conservatives opposed fascism. I'm saying I like to make these absolute statements, and then that'll flush people out, because there's usually at least one time, where the conservatives said, we don't want these fascists to come to power. And I don't remember that. So the shoe's on the wrong foot, isn't it? Bush is going to launch a series of speeches on the war, and same deal. These are important times, and I would seriously hope people wouldn't politicize these issues that he's going to talk about tomorrow. But he says, we have a duty in this country to defeat terrorists. And that's why we'll stay on the offensive to bring them to justice before they hurt us. What is that talking about? Bring them to justice? Obviously, the kind of police work that stopped these terror cells in different cities and, or failed to, like here on 9/11 in 2001 or in Spain or Britain, that necessitates police work, and hopefully that when this is in the offing, that they'll be successful. But the war in Iraq, that's not about stopping terrorism. These are Iraqis that object to the United States invading and occupying it. And so here you have the Secretary of War, Rumsfeld, saying we're appeasing fascists. Now, Tom in San Jose writes, can't you see that this rant from Rummy is a setup so that Cheney can abandon him? This whole thing has got to be something orchestrated by Cheney and Rove just so they can give Bush cover for dumping Rummy. Now Rummy will fall on his sword. I don't know, Tom. Doesn't sound right to me, but hey, we're gonna take a look at it. Let's go to Nick. Nick's in Minneapolis. Hi, Nick. It's Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on. Okay. I've been trying to get this headset working so I could have a hands-free conversation with you.
There you go.
It looks like...
Oh.
Okay.
Go ahead. You're in the air.
Great. I honestly think this thing with Donald Rumsfeld, I just think it's a big mistake, really. I think he woke up in the morning and looked in the mirror and thought it was a window, and he saw fascists. And, you know, I think it's kind of easily, my mic cut out on me. Don't you just hate when that happens?
I do, Nick. Thanks so much for joining us for that. Here's Lester in Dearborn, Michigan. Lester, have they stopped broadcasting the Detroit Shock basketball game on WDTW? Are you listening on the radio?
Yes, sir, I am.
So, good. So we're back on the air. Well, good. Good. Go ahead.
Detroit lost, by the way.
They're what?
Detroit lost, by the way.
The Shock lost? Oh, well. Maybe they can find another radio station to be on so we won't be preempted. But whatever that is, go ahead. Okay. You're on the air.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I have always been a guy who, I'm a veteran, I'm a Democrat, and I was basically supportive of the war, and I really wish it was being ran better. But the idea that because even a guy like me, I'm an appeaser to Nazism because I think that the people running our country are a special kind of stupid. That's a ridiculous argument.
I mean,
the idea that somehow that good Americans who have, you know, not ultra-left folks like, you know, communists or whatever, but everyday Americans are looking at this and going, you know what, you guys have no idea what the hell you're doing. Sorry for the language. You know,
we can handle it.
Insulting, and it's like a slap in the face to every one of them.
Well, I wonder when none of this is by accident, because these people are such craven manipulators. They sat down in the room, the big thinkers. I mean, certainly they didn't invite Bush in, but the Karl Rove and the other guys that are figuring out how are we going to pull out this looming disaster for the Republican Party. I was just looking at Novak, I can't think of his first name, Novak, the columnist. all of you. Robert Novak's column today, where he was saying that an impending disaster looms for the Republicans, that they could lose both houses, which the Republicans, beyond just losing a lot of their political power, know that the investigations into their lies and corruption will begin almost immediately, if they're lucky. And if they're unlucky, people like John Conyers and Tony Trupiano, that'll hopefully win in the 11th District in Michigan, are going to initiate impeachment proceedings. All right, Lester, thanks for calling from our home station here in the Detroit area. I'm Peter Werby. Our phone number, 866-303-2270, and I'll be right back. We would hang together, or they hang us one by one.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped.
Hold everything. Here's a special offer from Avacor. Today, Avacor will double your order. That's right, double it. You can't go wrong, because only Avacor gives you up to a full year to see results or get a full refund. Today's the day. Avacor will double your order. Call Avacor now and get twice for the price.
I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me in the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
you larger.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. I love this song. White Rabbit, Jefferson Airplane. 866-303-2270. We're talking about the Secretary of War's remark that anybody that doesn't fall in line lockstep with El Presidente, President Petro Main, the guy that loves to fart in front of people, we've learned from U.S. News and World Report, we're appeasing fascism, just like our predecessors in Europe in the late 30s, except it was the conservatives who were the appeasers of fascism back then. In fact, the left actively fought fascists before the Second World War. There were certainly numbers of Americans who went to Spain to fight against the fascist armies there of Franco. And after they were defeated, a number of them went to Canada, not to flee, as they did during the Vietnam War, to get out of that monstrosity of a conflict based on lies, but rather to fight in the Canadian army so they could fight against fascism. So this is kind of a theme we've heard from a number of people. This is email from Dean in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. Regarding the Bush administration's use of the word fascism, what they are doing is trying to avoid people accusing them of fascism. It's one of the oldest tricks in the book. If you don't want someone to accuse you of fascism, then accuse them of fascism. It's the perfect diversion. And someone said that they'd picked up, that Bush had picked up this Islamofascism and stuff like that for that reason. But, you know, that has been a theme of some of these far right-wing talk show hosts, like Michael Wiener. He doesn't broadcast under that name, his first name he uses. But I remember hearing, a couple of years ago, Wiener talking about Islamofascism. So it's interesting that Bush, remember he was the uniter? Remember that crap that he ran in 2000, he's going to be uniter? When has a president split the country this badly? I mean, it's always the right that splits things. They did during the Clinton administration, during the Roosevelt administration, during the Truman administration. They're such power mongers that when they're out of office, they're just disruptors. Now, John in Madison, Wisconsin writes, the vice president takes over in the case of presidential impeachment, so we'd have to impeach Cheney first, but the president nominates replacements to the vice president. That could go on and on. How would we have to go about getting the entirety of Bushco out of office? Would a dual impeachment provoke a constitutional crisis? Well, maybe, John, but maybe no more so than the shredding of the Constitution that these folks are carrying out in Washington. Let's see. Here's Mike in Westminster, South Carolina. Mike, hey, it's Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Hey, your previous emailer was correct. They're using projection and transference, and this is an orchestrated event. I mean, I call into like one of your previous callers. I call into these conservative talk shows and give them a hard time. But I was listening to Neil Bortz on the day that the president actually used the term Islamic fascists, and he was talking about how none of the people in the news media, this was before the president made this announcement, that none of the people in the media had been calling this, you know, what it actually is, you know, and he was talking about, you know, Islamic fascism, and he was talking about how he was actually sending email messages to the other right-wing talking heads, and this is Neil Bortz, you know, this is real crazy nut, and he's talking about, you know, having these email conversations with Limbaugh and these other people, and it's a concerted effort of these people to get this idea out there, but it is transference and projection. I mean, it is what they are, but they figure if they call us that first, then we can't call them that.
Well, in fairness, Mike, they haven't called us that. They say that we're the appeasers.
Oh, yeah.
There's even, that's the worst, the appeasers. See, that's always, and that's one of the characteristics of fascism, is denouncing the weakness in other people because they have such high militaristic values. And if you go back to, and I was talking about this last night, if you go back to after World War One in Germany, that was a constant theme of the right wing and finally the Nazi parties, that the effete, the sexless, emasculated left is what lost the war for Germany in World War One, not the valiant fighters on the battlefield.
Right, but you know, what I'm saying is that they're actually trying to paint us with that brush
when it actually
more rightly, you know, applies to them. And even Bush's granddaddy, Prescott Bush, was an enabler. These people are all enablers of our fascist regime right here in the United States, and they did it for Hitler during the Second World War.
You got it.
Prescott Bush and the rest of them.
Yeah, and if anybody doubts that, just put in Bush Nazi into Google, and you got it. Mike, thanks a lot. Thanks for joining me. Here's Jim in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Boy, it makes me thirsty for a Rolling Rock beer. Isn't that where it's made?
Well, Rolling Rock's not made here anymore.
Where? Oh, that's right. Where is it made now?
Anheuser-Busch moved it to New Jersey. We're not happy about it either.
Does it still say, old Latrobe on the bottle, though?
You know, I think they're just going to use up the old bottles, but frankly, I think they should get those off the bottles because it's not coming from here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I was going to steal your thunder, but I thought I would let you see if you were going in the same direction that I am. So tell me what you wanted to talk about.
Well, I gave your producer a choice, and we decided that the definition of fascism would be more appropriate than my tangential issue.
Okay.
According to Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia.
Wait a minute, Jim. Are you going to read all 14 points?
Nope. It's
okay.
One sentence.
Go ahead.
Fascism is defined as a radical, totalitarian political philosophy that combines elements of corporatism, authoritarianism, extreme nationalism, militarism, anti-anarchism, anti-communism, and anti-liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that pretty much describes the Bush administration.
Yeah, I would say so too. You know, the opposite of that is populism, and it's odd. They very frequently it's used as a negative adjective, like a populist leader, like somehow that they're demagogues. But if you look up, and you might try in Wikipedia or just online, populism is a philosophy that supports the rights and power of the people.
Right.
And people have done bad things in the name of everything for democracy, certainly in the name of communism and socialism. But the opposite of it is corporatism, which supports the rights and power of the corporations
over
the
people.
You got it.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was another saying that I found online, which I thought you might be particularly enamored of.
Sure, go ahead.
While a liberal may wrap themselves in the Constitution and burn a flag, only a conservative would wrap themselves in the flag and burn the Constitution.
Love it. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for calling in. I won't drink Rolling Rock anymore. Boy, I love that. Nice green bottle. All right, here are the 14 points of fascism, and all you have to do is, if you like this, go 14 points fascism, put it in Google. Actually, you can go to my website. Where is that? Oh, yeah. If you go to my website, peterwerbe.com, my last name is spelled W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com, go over to the right side. There's a column down there, and if you go like down a little bit, there's a great drawing of Bush as a vampire sucking the blood out of the Statue of Liberty's neck. One of the stations I work for said we can't have a link to that anymore. Our listeners are complaining. I love it. Here, the station's here in Detroit. I work for three stations. It's in a group. And if you go down there a bit, in fact, I think for some of you it'll be a big and pleasant surprise because they're red. But here are the 14 points of fascism, and I didn't grab the one that's attributed to the – oh, yeah. It's Dr. Lawrence Britt, a political science, and Britt has studied the fascist regimes of Hitler, Mussolini, Franco, Suharto, Pinochet in Chile – and maybe that's it. All right. Okay, but here they are, real quickly. Do we have time? We do. Powerful and continuing expressions of nationalism. Prominent displays of flags and bunting to the ubiquitous lapel pins, the fervor to show patriotic nationalism. And what isn't in here is the demand for it. Okay, number two, disdain for the importance of human rights. I'm not going to read the descriptions. You can fill it in. And for those of you that don't agree, it's a kind of thing. Pardon me. If the shoe fits, wear it. And I would say this does. Uh-oh. I was saying, I get every once in a while my voice goes into a Godfather mode. You know, it starts getting like this. 3, identification of enemies, scapegoats, as a unifying cause. Just think about some of the speeches we've been subjected to just in the last couple of days. The supremacy of the military, advent militarism. I know this is kind of odd. This is number 5, but it certainly is true. Rampant sexism. Beyond the simple fact that the political elite and national culture were male-dominated, these regimes inevitably viewed women as second-class citizens. They were adamantly anti-abortion and also homophobic. Now, these are the ones he actually studied, right? The professor. 6, a controlled mass media. Well, okay, so now the media, the kept lapdog of the Bush crime family, has slipped out a little from their leashes. They're still not doing what they should. Number 7, obsession with national security. And again, these are these fascist regimes that we're studying. Number 8, religion and ruling elite tied together everywhere in these fascist regimes, more pronounced particularly in some than in others, but in all of them. The power of corporations protected. That's what fascism is all about. That's why it existed. The power of labor suppressed or eliminated. Disdain and suppression of intellectuals and the arts. Does this all sound a little familiar here? Remember, this is the professor that was looking at Germany, Italy, Spain, Indonesia, and Chile. Obsession with crime and punishment. I like this one. Rampant cronyism and corruption. How about this one? Fraudulent elections. Every one of them had that. So, does the shoe fit? If it does, we better do something quickly. Here's Barry in Portland, Oregon. Barry, go ahead. Give me a quick shot, and I may hold you over. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Werby, are you there?
Yeah, Dad, there's a call for you.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was wanting to talk about, how, you know, there are insects or termites or something, and then they sort of go back into the woodwork. Well, do you remember the Christic Institute?
It's odd that I do. I doubt if very many other people do, but...
I hope a few do. But in 1986, something about Mozambique, I was looking it up as I was going to talk to Mike Malloy, as I was talking with him, and Major General John Singalab, I guess, became the president of the Anti-Communist League, and it was later called the World... League
Tell you what, Barry, this is getting a little obscure, but thanks for bringing up the Christic Institute. Well, wait, hold on, because I got to go to a break anyways. But people may want to look that up, the Christic Institute. What they said was there's an invisible government that goes through every change of government here in the United States that rules for the interests of corporations and not for the people. Well, we're going to take a break just a bit before midnight here in the East. Don't know what it is where you are. You could be listening anywhere in the world. In fact, I just got an email from our friend Jacob in Oulu, Finland. God, I can't even imagine. Must be 6 in the morning there, 7 in the morning. But hello to everybody, and stay tuned. Got another hour of the program on the Air America Radio Network. If you'd like the phone, 866-303-2270. I'm Peter Werby, and I'll be right back.
Have you ever met someone, shaken their hand, and the second you let go, you can't remember their name? Short-term memory loss is a natural part of aging. But forgetting names, dates, and misplacing things can be frustrating. In business, it can cost you money. Fight back with MemoProve, the new once-a-day tablet developed over 10 years by a pharmaceutical company using proprietary neuropeptides, clinically shown to improve memory. In just 30 days, MemoProve will boost your short-term memory by at least 15%, guaranteed. Call right now to find out how you can get a 3-month supply of MemoProve free. 1-888-665-MEMO. That's 1-888-665-MEMO. This is a limited-time offer, so call right now. 1-888-665-MEMO. 888-665-MEMO. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you. 866-303-2270. Just got an email from author Dave Lindorf, who I've interviewed a couple of times. He's the co-author, along with Barbara Olshansky, of the book The Case for Impeachment. Let's see here. It says, C-SPAN Books TV's kick-ass program on The Case for Impeachment, his book, published by St. Martin's Press, which in one day last weekend, just having it on there, pushed this book from 30,000th place to 42nd on Amazon's bestseller list, is now available for viewing online for free at C-SPAN's website. Just go to, oh man, I can't get, you'll have to get through it yourself. If you go to booktv.org, and look for the book by Dave Lindorf and Barbara Olshansky. And 42nd, come on, we can put it up into number one. Dave, glad to do it for you. Glad to get it, getting it going. More than it is, because it already is doing great. In Fayetteville, North Carolina, it's Chuck. Chuck, hi, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air. Chuck, are you with me? Okay, Chuck, there you are. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I called in because although I am not a reactionary or a right-winger, I believe I do know of a very prominent conservative who was vocally opposed to Hitler.
Who's that?
It was not in the U.S., but it was in England. Winston Churchill.
Well, I'm talking about the government, though. I mean, you could be right.
He was in Parliament.
Well, he was in Parliament, yeah, but...
if you talked about Father Coughlin and all those folks, they weren't in the government, and so he was conservative. Trust me on that. He was definitely a conservative guy. And
he was one of the more far-right politicians in Europe in terms of...
But he was against Hitler early on, and quite articulately so.
Wait a minute.
So maybe that's the exception that proves the rule.
No, wait, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know why I'm arguing with you, because you're absolutely right. The conservative government, led by Chamberlain, though, did not have that same sort of antipathy towards Hitler and the Nazis. And of course, it was a conservative president who appointed Hitler chancellor in Germany in 1933.
Oh yeah, you're quite right that there were lots of conservatives and right wingers who were playing footsie with him. And I think that in your description of fascism, there, which I would generally agree with, I would actually emphasize more than the author you quoted, the role of religion. I just recently read a biography of the late Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, and when he was being educated by Jesuits in Quebec in the 30s, they were teaching corporatism as the will of the church, and they were raising up Mussolini and Franco and the Salazar dictatorship in Portugal as these were the true models of Christian corporatist society, and it was really shocking to read this stuff. And it showed that Trudeau, as a particular guy, had come a very, very long way by the time he got into politics up there. But that teaching of particularly the Catholic Church was very strong. And there's one little other wrinkle, the matter of corporatism. It wasn't only corporations. It was also built on the Latin thing of corpore as a body. They saw society as a body. It was like the church is the heart and corporations is the muscle and everything in its place. And, I mean, this certainly was fascist. I'm not contradicting what the guy said about it, but I think that the role of religion and religious notions was really, I would say, even more crucial. Now, Germany is a little bit different, but in
certainly in Italy and Portugal
and Spain,
it was
a really big deal there.
Yeah, in Spain, actually, I just saw some photos of the in Spanish towns that they're finally beginning to tear down these statues of the fascist dictator Franco that, of course, died. When was it, 1975, so over 30 years ago. And it would be like allowing statues of Hitler or Stalin or Mussolini to still remain.
Well,
go ahead.
I recall a cartoon or a joke that I read happened when Franco died. 3 days later, supposedly big headlines in Spanish newspapers. Franco still dead.
I love it. Chuck, we got to go to break. Thanks for that information. I think you're absolutely right. And we'll be back after our top of the hour information break, get you some news and maybe some more stuff to chew on. We can continue. That's odd. We've just been talking about this fascist question all along. I mean, ultimately, that's the crucial question. How is society going to be administered? And we know what the Bush Co., the Bush crime family, wants to do. I'm Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
No doubt about it, the internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the internet, too. Isn't it time the internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Good morning, I'm Carolyn Burns for Air America Radio News. A National Transportation Safety Board investigator says Comair Flight 5191 attempted to take off from a Kentucky airport yesterday using the wrong runway. Use of the shorter runway apparently caused the plane to run out of room and crash into a nearby field where it burst into flames, killing 49 of the 50 people aboard. The sole survivor has been identified as the flight's first officer. The remains of the dead have been recovered from the crash site, but Fayette County Coroner Gary Ginn says dental records and other medical records will have to be used to make positive identification, as many of the victims were burned beyond recognition. Conan O'Brien's first segment of last night's 58th Annual Emmy Awards didn't sit very well with people in Lexington, Kentucky. The opening skit began with a late-night TV host spoofing the ABC show Lost with a simulated plane crash. Unfortunately, the bit occurred just hours after a Comair jet carrying 50 people crashed in Lexington, killing all but one. The Los Angeles Times quotes Tim Gilbert, the president and general manager of Lexington's NBC affiliate, as saying he was shocked by the bit. However, a source involved in the production has said that pulling the crash sequence would have ruined the entire six-minute segment. Five American soldiers were killed yesterday in a series of roadside bombings in Iraq. The U.S. military says four soldiers were killed in a vehicle north of Baghdad when a roadside bomb exploded. The other soldier died from injuries sustained from another roadside bomb attack in western Baghdad. Elsewhere in the Iraqi capital, a suicide car bomber is blamed for killing up to 16 people today in an attack just outside Iraq's Interior Ministry building. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the Pentagon is considering a plan to use conventional weapons mounted atop intercontinental ballistic missiles to strike at terrorists. Following a meeting with Russia's defense minister in Alaska, Rumsfeld said the option of removing the nuclear tips from missiles would make them less lethal and a better option for accurately and quickly targeting terrorist groups. Rumsfeld added that a future president might like to have an option other than a nuclear weapon to respond to a threat against the U.S. or an ally. For Air America Radio News, I'm Carolyn Burns.
This is the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werbe with you. Open lines at 866-303-2270. This is interesting. I've substituted on this network any number of times, and this is actually the first time that for an entire, well, I guess 2 hours, we've got another hour in front of us, that we've talked about one single subject, and that's this vile slander of the Secretary of War, Donald Rumsfeld. Why is he still in there? Some people have said this was his swan song. The fact that he has said that that the critics of the Bush Co.'s Iraq and counterterrorism policies are trying to appease a new type of fascism. That's what's behind it all. And we don't think this is a total failure that, in fact, has increased terrorism and has made us less safe. Two-thirds of us in the country think that. So he's talking about his essentially fascist third that backs Bush Co. no matter what, No matter what they do, what's exposed, what kind of corruption, what kind of lies, they just continue. Nancy Pelosi, I think, had it pretty good. She said, if Mr. Rumsfeld is so concerned with comparisons to World War II, he should explain why our troops have now been fighting in Iraq longer than it took our forces to defeat the Nazis in Europe. Of course, our troops in Europe weren't there for all that long, just a matter of not even a year, right? The World War II was won by who? We don't like to face that because we've seen all those John Wayne movies, right? Patton and other movies like that. It was the Soviet Red Army that defeated Hitler in Europe. Now, let me just introduce, we can keep talking about this fascism thing, but I did notice one call up on our board about Iran. A defiant Iran kept on enriching uranium in advance of the UN Security Council's Thursday deadline for Tehran to freeze such activity or face the threat of sanctions. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad urged European members of the Council against resorting to sanctions, saying punishment would not dissuade his country from pursuing his disputed nuclear program. It's disputed because he says it's only for peaceful uses for power, whereas other people are fearful that he's trying to develop atomic weapons. He says, sanctions cannot dissuade the Iranian nation from achieving our lofty goals of progress, so it's better for Europe to be independent of the U.S. in decision-making and to settle problems through negotiations, Ahmadinejad said Wednesday, according to state-run television. Hey, don't they have a lot of oil there? Aren't they making a fortune on oil as all these prices go up? What do they need nukes for power? And it's hard to tell what they're going to use it for. Would they be trying to develop weapons of mass destruction? Why not? I mean, I don't agree with it. I don't think there should be nukes for power or certainly for weaponry. They're extremely volatile as they exist currently in the nation. In the nations of the world. The Security Council on Thursday could trigger council members. The statement of Iran could trigger council members to consider economic and political sanctions. Russia and China, however, were likely to resist U.S.-led efforts for a quick response, which likely means sanctions do not loom immediately. So there's not going to be sanctions. And who would win in this battle of sanctions? I mean, what if all of a sudden Iran said, sorry, we're turning off the oil spigot? Who would be the loser in this toe-to-toe standoff? Well, hey, the oil companies would say, sorry, we got to charge you $6 a gallon for your gasoline. I mean, they could probably, if the price went up because of a lack of supply, it would probably mean they should only charge us $5, but they would use that, of course, as an excuse to charge us $6. So they're probably hoping it'll come down. What will Bushko, what will this evil, lying regime do next? A number of people think that war looms. It's hard for me to say. I think I mentioned that I have a bet that it won't before the elections, but who knows if all this fascism crap and terrorism crap that the whole Bush gangsters are putting out there doesn't work, they may have to play the Iran card. Now, I don't know. Would that work with the American people? I mean, can we keep being fooled over and over again? And what would be the practical results of an air attack, because certainly there's no U.S. capacity. Imagine that, the most powerful nation in the world, and we do not have the capacity to launch a land invasion of a country. We're tied down by irregulars next door. Well, this could very well trigger more attacks on our troops there, and who knows? Who knows what that would precipitate here in this country? And maybe these criminals in the White House don't care, because if there was another attack, maybe they would not allow the November elections to even occur. I know that's pretty paranoid. I know people have said that before. I guess there's an article in The Nation, or there was, it's a weekly, so it goes by pretty quickly, about Bush canceling the 2008 elections. And, you know, Rome transformed itself from a democracy to an empire, and you kind of take for granted that this is a country that began with a small kernel of democracy. It was a democracy for white propertied males. There was a slave trade allowed under the Constitution until 1803. Women couldn't vote. Ordinary people that didn't own property couldn't vote. Did I say women couldn't vote? Yeah. And Slavery was enshrined in the Constitution as well, where African captives were counted as three-fifths of a human being. So that you know, doesn't bode well when we think about it in today's term, except we've moved forward. We've continued to move forward democratizing this country. The conservatives, of course, oppose it every step of the way. I was saying last night, they even opposed the American Revolution. And they supported slavery, and they opposed women voting, and they supported every war of expansion, or like the Spanish-American War and the First World War, which suppressed incredibly the rights of people and of labor unions and what have you. They opposed the trade union movement during the 1930s. They supported segregation. They opposed the civil rights movement. I'm talking conservatives. I'm not talking party here. Don't give me the call. Hey, those are Democrats in the South. They were very, very conservative. Let's see. Here's Gary in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Gary, hi. It's Peter Werby on the Air America Radio Network. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
First of all, there's a lot of things I'd like to ask you. I feel like Sam Cedar says, I believe we're FUBAR'd unless some powerful, new, charismatic leader somehow takes over and straightens things out. But my question to you is this.
Wait a minute, Gary. Let me just say for people, FUBAR is a book by Sam Cedar, who hosts the Majority Report on the Air America Radio Network, and it stands for, is he really going to say it? Fouled up beyond all recognition is what it stands for, like in the armed services and incorporation, except the first F is a little more rude, which I can't say on the air, but go ahead.
Well, actually, it was a different FUBAR was to me. It was fouled up beyond all repair. Like, in other words, there's no way to fix it.
You could be right. Does Sam say that in his book?
No, but that's what it stands for. I'm 52 years old, and it's been that way as long as I can remember. But that's not really why I called you.
That makes more sense, but go ahead.
Yes. I'd like you to list for me a few reasons why you think Bush would refuse to debate the president of Iran. Now, obviously, if he would debate him, it could only help the United States situation, I would think.
Well, what if he loses this?
Well, of course he would lose. There's no way he could. He couldn't beat a high school kid in a debate.
Well, wait a minute.
He had
now.
That box on his back.
I was going to say he's wired up, so he's getting messy. That's Wiregate. Anybody doesn't know what Gary and I are talking about? Just Google wiretap. Wiregate, and Bush. Put that in, and you'll get the whole story. Because he was wired for sound when he debated Kerry.
Oh, yeah, that back angle, you could see the big box on his back like a hunchback.
Yeah, so he would. Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, has challenged him to a public debate. Well, you know what? The king does not debate vassal states, right? The heads of vassal states. They rule with complete authority, and that would diminish his authority by agreeing to a debate with another foreign leader.
All right, there's one reason, but there's probably many more, other than the fact he would lose. I think this guy would expose all the atrocities that he's perpetrated over the past 6 years.
Yeah, well, you know, look at Ahmadinejad and that regime in Iran, we got to remember, is a very repressive and far-right-wing theocratic authoritarian government, just like we're heading towards. So they'd have a lot in common, you think, except they're what? I mean, what's he got a beef with Iran about? I don't know. All right, thank you, Gary. We're going to continue the discussion when we come back. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this little thing, too. You know, to connect it up. I forget there were some dots here I was supposed to connect. I'll do it when we come back. Tribal leaders' killing incites riots in Pakistan. What the hell does that have to do with Iran and nukes? I'll tell you about that when we come back. I'll get your calls at 866-303-2270. I'm Peter Werby on the Air America Radio Network.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yep.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
Great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Oh, this is wild. Love it. Air America Radio Network, Peter Werby here with you. Tim, who's that? Tim in New York says, I'm not sure. Do you know what kind of music that's called? It's called Jump. Wow. 866-303-2270 is our phone number. Ward is listening in Japan, and he says Iran is moving on nuclear power because two trends are pushing them into a corner, and unlike the USA, they are planning ahead. First is that their population is booming, and gas and oil sales prop up the economy. The other is that fossil fuel depletion will hit them, as it already has the USA, England, and some 60 countries around the world whose oil production has peaked. We've already, if you want to get more on this, just Google in peak production oil and see what you get. It's frightening. And Ward continues, what will they do as the population continues to grow and age at the same time that their gas and oil start to deplete? If they don't start now working on alternatives like nuclear power, I'm not in favor of nukes myself. They won't have enough energy in 15 or 20 years. Meanwhile, American bitches about high gasoline prices, but continues to waste and fails to invest in alternatives. Well, that's the key. And certainly, I oppose any nuclear program whatsoever. It's the most dangerous technology ever developed by humankind. And nobody should be developing it as a fuel source because it can be diverted to military, and that's all we need are more countries with nukes. Now, that brings me to what I was saying. We're talking about Iran with nukes, but how in the world does this report in the New York Times of August 28th relate to nuclear concerns? Tribal leaders killing incites riots in Pakistan. Violent protests broke out in the southern Pakistani province of Balochistan and in the city of Karachi on Sunday after the killing of a prominent rebel tribal leader in a fierce battle with the army. Anticipating unrest, the government placed the army on alert Saturday night after the death of the leader, Nawab Akbar Khan Bukti. 79 years old, he dominated the Baloch political scene for more than 50 years. Police closed the main highways from three provinces into the provincial capital, Quetta, and imposed a curfew at 1 a.m. Protesters defied the curfew, burning tires, ransacking shops and government buildings, and setting fire to buses in the city. Gunfire broke out, and at least three people, including a police officer, were reported killed. Bombs exploded at government registration offices. Violence broke out across the province during the day, and the police detained 450 people. So what does this have to do with Iran? Nothing directly, except that Pakistan is a nuclear power. Now, we are worried about Iran, who's never tested a weapon, who doesn't have the centrifuges to be able to enrich uranium in any enough quantity to actually produce a bomb. They're years and years away, and what the United States should be doing, rather than the insanity that it's involved in, is rather than allowing these countries like Pakistan, Israel, India, and others, and perhaps, I know, South Africa finally got rid of theirs, didn't they? But Russia, another volatile and unstable country that has thousands and thousands of nuclear warheads aimed at the United States. And this is not the top priority of Bush. This man is a danger to all of our health and safety, in fact, to the future of the world. Peter Werby here with you at 866-303-2270. Let's take a call from San Diego. It's Steve. Steve, hey, it's Peter Werby, and you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I wanted to talk about the situation in Iran.
Please.
You mentioned that Iran doesn't have a lot of centrifuges, and that's true. I think the latest IAEA estimate was for a number a little bit less than 200. We need about 3,000 for uranium enrichment. Although there is a more efficient way to enrich uranium using lasers, and there is a laser site that's never been inspected by the IAEA. So they may have a more efficient way to produce uranium.
Well, they may want to do both. I mean, that's quite clear. They probably are interested in developing nuclear power, and if they can gain a weapon that could be, you know, balance off Israel's, I'm sure they'd probably be very much into that process.
Well, I think that it is a very large risk for Iran to have these laser enrichment sites, because they could produce a nuclear weapon. The one thing that I'm interested in is where they got the design for the weapon.
Let's guess.
Pakistan is a very poor country, and yet they were able to produce a bomb. And Iran is much richer, so they can get materials through the black market and probably designs as well. I wouldn't be surprised if the design for the North Korean bomb is similar to the Pakistani bomb.
Sure.
So,
well,
also,
Steve,
let
me just say two things. One is that that I don't mean to diminish the threat of another country developing a nuclear capability. And the other thing is, this is pretty an odd thing to ask you, but I very frequently say Iran and Iraq. And then you, of course, said the soft A, Iran, and I notice a lot of people say Iraq.
No, talking about Iran.
I know, but I'm saying, I say Iran. Does that just identify me as a dope? It may. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's a hard A in it.
Okay, we'll call it Iran. Hey, you got more? Because we're coming to a break. I could hold you over if you like.
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. All right, we'll get to the rest of your calls as well as we prepare for our bottom of the hour break, and then we'll have another half an hour to get your calls in. I'm Peter Werby on the Air America Radio Network. Our phone number is 866-303-2270. If you'd like to go to my website, it's peterwerby.com, and my last name is spelled W-E-R-B-E.com. I'll be right back. Hang on, please.
Question. Are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644, 877-870-2644.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you at 866-303-2270. And I want to go back to our phone call, but I just want to read a couple of emails first. And I was saying earlier, I was reading from the report about everybody, the whole crime family is assembling, you know, like one of these Cosa Nostra meetings, going out to the American Legion convention in Salt Lake City. Actually, Rocky Anderson, the Democratic mayor, has just been raking Bushko over the coals. So he's been great out there. But I was wondering, what is up with these guys? And Irish Dave writes in, I don't think you understand the American Legion. Its membership is entirely veterans of any kind. The VFW, on the other hand, is made up of veterans of foreign wars. They tend to be less gung-ho for war. Guess why? In addition, the American Legion is more publicly political. They don't care much for free speech, for instance. Now, the American Legion, when it was begun after World War I, was members of it frequently acted as vigilantes against labor organizers and labor radicals in that period following World War I, which was a period of great outbreak of strikes, but also of great reaction from the right. And they made up the phrase 100% Americanism. So if you don't agree with the reigning powers, you I guess you don't have 100% Americanism rating. What would I get? You know, 2% by them or something? Well, oh, I can't say that on the air. Never mind. Also, and I'd meant to, I told Scarlett from the Freeway Blogger that I was going to read this, and I meant to do it earlier. The website is Freeway Blogger with two G's, .com. Yeah, freewayblogger.com. And Scarlett writes, hello all, this weekend Freeway Bloggers, now what the hell is a Freeway Blogger? Instead of being on the internet, they're making up signs and putting them up on roads and freeways. But she says this coming weekend, Freeway Bloggers across the country will be putting up signs calling for the impeachment of Bush. If you have the time, consider slapping some paint on cardboard and putting it up where your fellow citizens will see it. And then she asks to send the photographs into freewayblogger@yahoo.com. While you're thinking it over, please read this. You may find it inspiring. And then she's got a link here. But just go to, it's too long to tell you. But there's some great photographs. But one thing is, you'll see all these up on freeway overpasses and alongside freeways. Very frequently, the local police will consider this illegal activity. So consider that when doing it. You could also always just put one on your lawn. And she says, though, the right to post political opinion on public property is one of the most protected and sacred rights that we have in American democracy. Hell of a lot of fun, too. We really need to start using it. Okay, but I may agree with that, but the cops may not. So forewarned is forearmed. But go to Freeway Blogger, two G's, freewayblogger.com. You'll see the whole deal. All right, back to San Diego. And, Steve, we were talking about the possibility of Iran's, I'm saying it right this time, nuclear capacity. Although, go ahead. I won't talk about my pronunciation anymore.
All right. Yes, another interesting thing was that today on the Fresh Air NPR program with Terry Gross,
sure,
she interviewed someone from the Center for American Progress, and he seemed to think that today the right wing, with the Project for New American Century and all that, was interested in doing regime change in Iran.
Sure.
And that opens up some very serious possibilities for trouble. I mean,
do you think? It sounds a little familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And unfortunately, we don't have the troops on the ground. We would need a draft, and a missile attack would probably be an ecological disaster. But I think that even if a Democratic president were in office, he would still have to deal with Iran's nuclear capability.
Well, sure. And what's really needed, and I've said this before, because I think we need some positive suggestions just rather than just repeating how mad we think these people in power are, although I think they are completely mad, is there has to be negotiations based around the guarantees of peace. And how about a peace treaty with Iran? How about settling these issues that are roiling the Middle East, everywhere from Iraq to Lebanon, Israel, Palestine, occupied territories, all of that? It's intractable. We can't do it. Well, people are going to have to either live in peace or we're going to live in war, wars that are going to escalate in their intensity. So if we can get the madmen out of there, get some reasonable, sensible people in, maybe we can do it. Steve, thanks for joining me on the show. Let's go to Al in Durham, North Carolina. Al, hi. It's Peter Werby on the Air America Radio Network.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, listen. I heard something that really bugged me. And I heard it on this Diane Rehm show this morning. They had Juan Cole and a couple of other guests on there. And, you know, after listening to them go through all of this ins and outs of what's going on in Iraq and that sort of thing, I have come to the conclusion that we as a nation, and definitely not people like Rumsfeld or our leaders, we are not smart enough, we don't care enough, we're not attentive enough to resolve what's going on in Iraq to the point of making that a stable country. We don't care enough, and we're not, we're just not invested enough in seeing to it that things go well.
Well, I'll tell you, Al, the only disagreement I have with what you said is the use of the pronoun we, because those incompetents, those evil incompetents in Washington certainly meet every definition that you just laid out. But I'll bet you and you know, the people next door on the other side of you could probably figure out real quickly how to come to a just, equitable, and peaceful solution to all of this.
I doubt that. I mean, you know,
okay, well, turn it over to me and my neighbors if you don't want to do it.
Well, I mean, you may be, you may care enough, but I mean, for instance, I would say, I was thinking about this. If we as a nation, left and right, and moderates or whatever, really cared enough about this, then wouldn't there be, like, say, for instance, a movement within schools to get Arabic as a, you know, along with Spanish and French, Arabic as a language.
As a language that's offered. Well, it isn't some. I mean, come to the Detroit area where we have 300,000 people of Middle Eastern origin, and it might be a useful language. I have to say, though, in most parts of the country, teaching it to anyone other than college students as an elective probably wouldn't make a tremendous amount of sense. But we'll think about it. Al, thanks a lot. Ron in Sacramento, California. Hi, you're on the air. Hey, Ron. Go ahead, Ron. You're on the air.
Besides the basic incompetence, I was thinking of something while I was waiting. It should be commented on Limbaugh and the rest of the Hannity and Laura Ingraham, the worst voice in radio, and all the rest of these crazy radio mullahs on the so-called right. They pretend to be kind of regular radio talk, and they're not. They're bought and paid for government talk show shills and hoes for the Bush administration. They regularly. Recently, a lot of them had substitutes. They go into Washington for reprogramming and stuff. They're government hoes, and they present themselves as other ones. Recently, they've been, you know, wetting their pants and hamming it up on this non-existent threat from Iran, which will be many years down the road. Iran's a keystone cops of, I'm trying to get to a bottom line. They're basically, including Bush and Cheney and the rest of them, they're garden variety punks, and they're skull and bones, a lot of them some kind of Satanist, Luciferian dead-enders.
Come on, Ron, you're holding back. What do you really think about them? How come, if they're that bad, what we have to ask ourselves, I don't disagree with a single thing you said or any of your descriptions of them, how come they're running things? How come they have the kind of power and prestige, and they can get on television, we're the sensible guys, the nice guys, and maybe it is. Is it a matter of nice guys finishing last?
Well, you know, they conducted a successful it's essentially a violent gay death cult. Bush has had his paramours, Jeff Gannon or Vic Ash. Randy Rose.
Well, Ron, I don't know if I want to go there. All right, thanks a lot. Here's Kerry in Wichita Falls, Texas. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, all this right-wing garbage about how, you know, we're running out of oil and, you know, the vast reserves in the Middle East are just about, you know, out. And I just think it's just, you know, a little bit more of this right-wing propaganda to misinform people.
Wait a minute. I don't get that from the right wing at all. I mean, when we talk about peak oil production, it doesn't mean that it's running out. It means that we're halfway out, that we've peaked in terms of what can be taken from a particular reserve. And certainly the Middle East is just filled with oil. That's why we're making war over there.
You heard about the Green River Formation, Wyoming, Colorado?
I know of the Green River. I don't know of the formation. I'm not sure what
you're... There's 2.2 trillion barrels of oil locked up in oil and, you know, locked up in the oil and gravel and rock.
That's pretty, but I don't know. I said earlier, try this out. I'll check it out, that out, Kerry. You got to go to a break now, but try peak oil production. Put that in Google, see what you come up with. A lot of that oil is pretty hard to extract. 866-303-2270. This is Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark. I'm Paul.
Yeah.
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the.
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's Labor Day sale going on this weekend only, September 1st through the 4th, at participating Ace stores. Get a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint you buy, limit 10 gallons. And don't forget paint supplies like a 4-piece paintbrush set priced at $2.99 or a 3-pack of Ace paint rollers for $3.99. Both are free after rebate. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Thank you.
It's the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby here with you. Allman Brothers in the background. I can't help myself when I do know I do know the songs. Mostly I know classic rock. It's just my DJ background that I immediately start doing what they call backselling. That's when we tell you that was. Here's Larry in Kingman, Arizona. Larry, hi. It's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm real thankful that Air America is on the air.
Sure, me too. Well, I didn't mean just... Wait. I didn't mean just because I substitute every once in a while. I meant because I really am. I'm mostly a listener like you. But go ahead.
Yeah, with you and Tom and Mike and all them, it's just it's really, really great thing. But I called about Iraq, about how to fix it. The problem was it wasn't broke to begin with, and when we tried to fix it, we broke it. And the closest thing we could do to fix anything over there now is to just get that out. Maybe we could send a Baha'i faith over there.
The Baha'i faith, back. Huh?
Something like that. Just something, just a good side of humanity, because humanity
yeah,
pretty
that'd
much
be good.
Start over again.
Except those folks don't fare real well like in Iran. They're kind of a persecuted minority. Everybody that's got control in those two countries now, the controlling ideology is right-wing Islamic, I don't want to say fascism, I'll sound like them, but they are right-wing authoritarian political ideologies based in a theocracy, and it's as are the Iraqis that have control of stuff. And that's not a good development. It's not a good development at all.
The problem is we let Bush create that polarization on both sides, and that's exactly what they wanted. It's got me crazy, but Bush, he's insane. He thinks he's so high, but it's really like he's just plain jumped off the moon and he's drifting in space. He's a spaceman. He's crazy. We got to get rid of him. The rest of the world is watching. If we don't get rid of him, then the rest of the world think they need to flush everything down the toilet right along with him.
The world can't wait. I agree with you. Thank you, Larry. Here's Janice in Boston. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yeah, Janice.
Go ahead,
you.
Janice. Very nice name. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. A few things I wanted to bring up. With that Mike Wallace interview with that Iranian president several weeks ago, this fellow seemed very open to facilitate some peaceful dialogue. I'm concerned that, like, the way we have a dope like Mike Wallace talking to this, he seemed very intelligent, very peaceful. So where's all the threat with Iran? I'm just, like, the whole cell of the threat of Iran. But I don't get it.
Well, the United States is absolutely under no threat whatsoever from Iran, certainly not soon, and I can't even imagine anywhere in the future. Now, say they became a nuclear power in the way that Israel and Pakistan and India and other countries are, what would they do? Would they nuke the United States? See, these other countries, even if they are like authoritarian or whatever, they're not insane. So they're not, even though somebody like Kim Jong-il talks kind of crazy sometimes, they're not going to attack the United States because they would be destroyed in a second. They would be turned into what some of the conservatives dream about, a parking lot, in about a half an hour. So their interest is always regional and regional politics.
It just seems like it's such a hard sell that how all these countries suddenly out of the blue become a threat. We have the largest Iranian community in Los Angeles. Not only that, we have a large community of all these different cultures. Certainly, you know, I spent 2 months in Holland with a friend living in a very a huge Muslim community. I didn't feel scared or threatened. They were all very friendly and kind people.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, the same thing is true in Dearborn, Michigan, which is right near where I am in Detroit, where the city is at least, I didn't know, I thought it was about 60 or 70% people of Middle Eastern background. I guess it's 40%. But the main streets, many of the signs in Arabic, and there's, but to me, I love other cultures. I mean, if we just had our kind of Anglo-Saxon culture, we'd all just be eating roast beef and mashed potatoes. So the idea that we can, rub shoulders in these other cultures is terrific. There was a Middle Eastern festival in Dearborn during the summer, and it was fabulous. It was absolutely great. But thank you, Janice. Thank you for calling in. Here is Cody. Cody is in Seattle, Washington. Hi, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Hey, I just kind of wanted to talk about one of the things that really scares me is how we keep lowering recruiting standards in the United States.
Hey, shouldn't we give the skinheads and neo-Nazis a little chance to get in the Army the way they are?
Oh, no, it's just scary. No, I mean, I have a couple people I work with who got back from Iraq as it is, and they talking to them, asking them if they've killed anyone or not. Their response was, if I didn't kill an innocent man when I was over there, then I probably wasn't doing my job. Mm-hmm. Now just imagine if you have people who have no regard for human life in, like, a neo-Nazi group.
Well, when you're fighting a civilian population that is resisting the invader and the occupier, even if they're not particularly admirable, even if they're motivated by extreme religious concerns, but you know what? They found out that even a lot of the suicide bombers in different parts of the world were not motivated by religion, but by nationalistic feelings of assault against people they thought were, that they disagreed with. What do you think? I mean, there's a horrible phrase that says that suicide bombs and car bombs are poor man's F-16. So, yeah, you can do a lot of damage with the bombs that we supply other countries, and you can do a lot of damage with explosive belts around your waist. They're all pretty awful, indeed. All right, thank you for your call. Thanks for being our last caller. Peter Werby with you on the Air America Radio Network saying thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day. Let's talk again.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.